All right, can everyone hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? You know, it's kind of funny, I'm a wedding DJ. I stand up in front of hundreds of people when you put a microphone in my hand, and I can do it and I'm not nervous, but today, I feel like I'm gonna like fall apart in front of everyone here. It's so weird standing in front of your friends and family. And you can't keep it together. So, I want to thank Dave and Sheila and the Encounter Church for the opportunity to stand up here today and tell my story. Since I decided to do this, I sat down and started writing down my walk to where I am today. In doing this, I dug up a lot of old memories. Some of them were good, and I was able to laugh. And some of them were bad. And those were the memories I think I'd much rather just forget. But in doing this, it reminded me that our Lord will never give you more than you can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul tells us that God is faithful and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with your testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. The load you carry may be enough to bring you to your knees, but that's usually when you realize that you need God's help standing back up. The thing is, he's always there. He's always helping you, even when you don't think you need his help. One of those bad memories is the reason I chose. The reason I chose today to tell my story. 3 years ago yesterday, I lost my dad. He was my hero. I can only recall him saying the words "I love you" to me just a few times. It's not the way he was raised. But I knew he did just by his actions. I remember when I was in school, I wasn't the best kid. I mean, I tried to listen to my parents and stuff, but I thought it was my head was bigger than I actually was, and I got into a fight. Beat the kid up pretty good, and my dad always told me though. He said, if you ever get into a fight and you start it, don't come home because you're gonna get it when you get home. But if somebody starts it with you, you need to defend yourself, and that's exactly what happened. The kid started a fight with me, and I defended myself pretty well. And so then, I'd say about maybe 2 or 3 weeks after that, I got off the school bus, and maybe 8 of his friends were all standing there. They were gonna kick my butt, And I'm just standing there trying to figure out what I'm gonna do, and all of a sudden, Dad stepped out from behind this tree. I didn't even know he was there. And he looked at me, and he did this thing with his finger. I catch myself doing this to Colton all the time now. I'm like, eh. But he steps out and he goes, if you want to fight my son, you can do it one-on-one, and I'll stand here and watch him kick all your butts. So, but you try to join in, you're going through me. My dad was a mountain of a man. And it's one of my memories I will never, ever forget of my dad. his love for my son, it was felt as soon as we would walk through the door. His eyes would light up, and he'd just be like, there's Pappy's baby. And I never saw my dad get down on the floor and crawl around, and my son would walk in, and that was it. I got a call a few days after Valentine's Day, and he had a massive stroke. The few months that followed, it took me to a lot of breaking points. He had gone from this, like I said, mountain of a man to wearing adult diapers and being picked up by a machine. Every other day, and on the days that he could actually speak properly, he spoke of just wanting to end his own life and dying. His dad did that, and he walked in and caught him. He walked in and found his dad in the bathroom. His dad shot himself, and he swore he would never do that. So I knew he was in a really dark place. If it wasn't for my walk with Christ and what I went through to get here, I would have never been by his side and would have never been able to bring him to Christ. Because of my walk, I was able to pray with him And we said the prayer, and he accepted the Lord into his heart as a Savior. Now I praise God for giving me that chance. I praise God for giving me the strength to be the one that gave my dad a chance at eternal life. So this is my story. May 1st, 1976, my twin brother and I came into this world 10 minutes apart. From the time we were about five, our parents tried to instill into us that we needed to go to church. So every Sunday we would get up, get dressed in our Sunday best, grab the dreaded shoehorn, squeeze into our Sunday shoes, and head to church, blisters and all. Dave and I knew who Jesus was. We knew that he hung on a cross and died, but we really didn't know why, other than what we were told anyway. You know, we were told that he died for our sins. We didn't really grasp what sin was. After all, mom and dad cussed, so that couldn't be, you know, couldn't be a sin. We were just told that only adults were allowed to talk like that. So the first bar of soap in my mouth reminded me of that. I believe that was also a great reminder of honoring your mother and father, which I remembered reading was on a list that God gave to Moses on some big mountain. I knew I was much too little to murder anyone, so I was good there. And I definitely didn't want punished, so I wasn't going to steal anything either. It wasn't until we reached middle school and started attending youth group until I really started to understand what I was reading and started to really love God. So all of middle school and most of high school, I lived a good Christian life. Yeah, I swore occasionally, but yeah, I made sure to ask for forgiveness in church on Sunday. Yeah, I drank and went to parties. Probably much more than I should have, considering I wasn't 21. But I made sure to ask for forgiveness on Sunday in church. Now, my brother Dave, that dude had it going on. Man, he, every church, every Sunday, no cussing. Occasionally, but compared to me, he didn't cuss. He was a leader in the youth group. He was so proud of me and what I've become, but it was me that was even more proud of him and all that he was doing. So many kids looked up to him. He brought so many people to Christ. Secretly, I wanted to be like him. He tried to impress me once when I came home from basic training. All that actually happened was that he found out how to build a pyramid and that he couldn't outdrink his brother. January 1998, my twin was taken from me. I lost my other half to a car accident. When he died, part of me died too. So I did what I thought would help, the pain. I partied hard, really hard. I deployed to Japan and partied till it didn't hurt anymore. Well, I felt it in the morning, you know. Definitely felt that in the morning, but it felt good at the time. You know, so for the time, I found comfort in strange arms and alcohol. The events that followed in the years to come, I can't even touch, except one, because the unwinding that I went through not only landed me in jail at one point, but was ultimately my path to Christ. The lifestyle I had continued until I met my first wife. Boy, she was crazy. I didn't know that until after we got married. She was actually extremely abusive. She was bipolar. On her good days, you know, peas and carrots, it was great. But when she was off her pills, I've had, you know, books, shoes, knives thrown at me, Christmas tree. Oh, yeah, true story. We were getting ready to go to a New Year's party. My cousin was planning. We were had a casserole, bottle of wine. We're ready to go. 15 minutes before we walk out the door, she's like, "Can we just stay here? You know, just you and me?" I'm like, "No." Got our casserole. They're expecting us. she grabbed that tree and was like, "You never do anything I effing want," and threw the tree at me. You know, ornaments all over the place, glass, water, because it was a real tree. I was like, "Who throws a tree?" "Go ahead and throw a book." "Who throws a Christmas tree?" So yeah. So it turns out getting married was enough to settle me down, but not her. That marriage ended the day after our 2-year wedding anniversary when I walked in and caught her in bed with a friend of mine. There it was. True story. It happens. You think you only see that in the movies, but it actually happened. Shortly after I moved out, I found out she was pregnant. She had no clue if the baby was mine or his. So she said, no clue. She went through hell or high water to prevent me from finding out. So the baby was born with complications in Philadelphia. And in that hospital, she lied and told all the doctors and nurses that I had done some very, very, very bad things to some children, so they wouldn't let me in the hospital to see the baby. She ordered a paternity test, and the day after the test was ordered, the baby died. To prevent me from going to the funeral, she told all her friends and family what day it was on, but not where. And then on the day he was buried, she called them and gave them the location. So for 1 year, I went through the pain of not knowing if he was mine, to him being born, dying, and buried, and never knowing if he was mine. Praise God, they were able to do a tissue sample before he was buried and found out that he was not mine. So all those events, they sent me in a downward spiral and ended me with a PFA around my neck, for those of you with protection from abuse. But it was not for her. I wanted nothing to do with her. It was for him. Yeah, he was going to get a beating. You know, he was definitely getting a beating. So, all right, let me see where I am here. So yeah, I hit rock bottom. Really, really hard. Does it hurt? Yeah, it hurt a lot. I knew at that point there was only one direction to go, and I was already on my knees after hitting rock bottom, so I just turned my head up. It was the only place I could go. I started by joining a men's group at a friend's church. We got together once a weekend and talked about our problems and how God could fix it. And through this group, I made some more friends. One of them, his name was Carl, and he kept asking me to come to this Bible study on Sunday evenings. Just so happened that every Sunday was the day I did my laundry, so I couldn't go to Bible study. Every week, coming? Nope, got laundry. Every week. Sorry, got my laundry. Oh, the game's on. So one Saturday night, there's a knock on my door, and it was Carl and his wife. They were there to do my laundry. No more excuses. So I was at this Bible study, and I was really able to open up. And I confided in them. I told them my entire story, including the one about my ex and that unfortunate turn of events. But at that Bible study, I made some of the best friends in the world, Matt and Becky. They're here today to support me. One night, I'm sitting at home, and I got this letter in the mail, and turns out my PFA was over. It was a year. Okay, good. So I picked up my phone, and I called Becker's. And she said, "Hey, what's up?" I said, "I just wanted to thank you for being a friend." I said, "You've always been there for me. I just want to thank you for that." She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Something's going on. I can hear it in your voice. I will never forget this day for as long as I live." I said, well, you know, nothing. What are you talking about? She said, wait a minute. A year's up, isn't it? That PFA is over. I said, yeah, it is. So I'm going to just go talk to Matt. We're just going to go talk. I may or may not take my baseball bat, but I'm definitely going to go. I'm going to definitely go talk to this guy. We're just going to sit down, you know, man to man. You know that burning bush that people sometimes say they need? They need proof that God exists. They need something concrete. She says to me, she says, Dwight, two things. Number one, I can't stop you because I'm not there at your house right now. And two, even if I was, you're much too big, so I wouldn't be able to stop you anyway. She said, but I just need you to do me a favor. I said, anything for you, Beckers. Anything. You've been such a good friend to me. I will do this for you. And she said, I just need you to sit down with your Bible. Close your eyes and open it up. And I need you to put your finger down and then open your eyes and just start reading wherever your finger is. I said, Becky, I will do that for you. Because you've been such a good friend to me, I promise you I'll do this. So I put my finger down. I opened up my eyes, and I landed on Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay. Got it. I hear ya, loud and clear. God was like, look, dude. Pretty sure he called me dude. He said, look, dude, I know what you're thinking you're going to do today, and I got something else planned for you. So instead of doing that, you are going to lay in your living room floor listening to worship music, and you're going to cry like a little baby. That's exactly what happened. So instead of going to jail that night, I locked myself in my house. Thank you, Peggy. So from that day, I've been living for God. I'm not perfect. I mess up a lot sometimes. My wife can tell you that. Yeah, my second one. And I do celebrate my birthday the entire month of May. I used to look in the mirror on May 1st, and I'd see a reminder that I lost my twin brother. At the end of May, I used to look in the mirror, and I'd see my father. But I know that God loves me. I know that Christ died on that cross for all my sins. And it's because of me that he died. His love for me is so great that he has forgiven me and given me the strength to get to where I am today. He gave me a beautiful, beautiful, loving wife that puts up with absolutely everything I do and reminds me that she wears the pants in the family. Gave me a healthy, wonderful, handsome son to carry on my last name. But most of all, he's given me life. Thanks.